We worship God. We follow Jesus. We share Christ. We serve others. We are a community of faith committed to missions. As you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to hear God's word as it comes to us from the book of James, the most practical book in the Bible. James, the second chapter, the 18th verse, where James is engaged in a friendly conversation with someone who is an imaginary opponent. Verse 18, someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Henry Moore, by all accounts, was the preeminent sculptor of the 20th century. He was renowned for his abstract sculptures, which portrayed in Moore's mind the similarities, the many similarities that exist between humankind and the natural world. Late in his life, at 80 years of age, some of you may take issue with my description of 80 as being late in life, but at 80 years of age, after having lived for more than several decades, he was interviewed in an art magazine, and in the course of the interview, the person conducting the interview posed this question to Henry Moore: "Now that you have just turned 80 years of age and you have gained all of this experience and you have dedicated your life to expressing the miracles of creation in art form, what would you say is the secret of life?" And Moore paused for a moment, reflecting upon the profundity of that question. And finally, he answered in this way: "The secret of life," Moore said, "is to have a task, something that you give your life to, something that you pour yourself into, something that draws forth from you every fiber of your being. And ideally," Moore said, this task to which you give yourself totally and completely, it really must be something that is beyond your capabilities." And that was his answer: the secret of life. As I reflect upon Moore's wisdom, I think he has something to say to us who are people of faith, who are interested, as anyone would be, with understanding what is the secret of life. And for us to hear Moore's explanation might require a bit of a tweak, A minor alteration, so that we might say the secret of life for us as people of God is to have a mission, more than a task, something even larger, more magnificent, a mission to which we give of ourselves, to which we dedicate ourselves every moment of every day, a mission in which we pour into it every fiber of our being, but with this distinction from Moore's definition of the secret of life. Yes, while it is something, this mission to which we give ourselves, something that we cannot accomplish in our own power, we do believe that it can be, it must be accomplished in the power that God has made available to us through Jesus Christ. For us as people of faith, that is indeed the secret of life, to have that kind of mission. And so it is true not only for us as individuals, but also for us as a community of faith. I say to you this morning that the secret of the life and all of its abundance to which Jesus has called us as the Mountain Brook Baptist Church can only be realized where together we are able to pour our collective time and talents and energies and resources into those initiatives to which God is calling us, on the promise that when God empowers us to be about that work, magnificent things happen, not just for us, but for those to whom we are called to minister. One of the reasons that so many churches today have lost momentum, and in the process, quite frankly, have lost members, is because those particular communities of faith are only looking inwardly. They're only concerned with what has to be done to keep the shop going. And in the process of focusing their time and their talents and their energies and their resources solely upon themselves, they have, in the process, lost vibrancy and relevancy, when all the while the Spirit of God is compelling them to move out in a way that pursues the teaching of Jesus, that whoever wishes to gain his life must in reality be willing to lose it, to forfeit it, and to do so as did Jesus in service. Do you understand that truth? Do you understand why it's important for our church, our congregation, to give ourselves to such a truth? James did, the author of this epistle from which our text comes today, and well, James should have understood it. James, according to tradition, was the brother of Jesus. The brother of Jesus. And James, late in his life, became a follower of Jesus and rose to a place of prominence in the Jerusalem church, which James interpreted as a place from which he was called to serve. We know that because of this epistle, this letter that bears his name, as I read from the second chapter, the 18th verse of the letter from James. I introduced it by saying it's the most practical book in the Bible. It's all about how do we express our faith in everyday deeds. And there are some, quite frankly, who have misunderstood the emphasis of James upon work. They see some kind of minimizing of the place of faith in James' writings. Faith without works is dead. You say you have faith, well, let me see, otherwise your faith is dead. But the fact of the matter is, for James, faith and works are two sides of the same coin. And if you have a coin that is all heads on both sides, or all tails on both sides, you've got a counterfeit coin. It has no value. James is simply saying that in order to profess a vibrant faith in Jesus Christ, there has to be that sense of trust and devotion that's more than intellectual assent. It's a heartfelt devotion. And it shows up in the way in which we live our faith through practical, tangible, concrete deeds. We don't do works in order to be saved. We're saved by faith, James would say, and as evidence of how God has done a saving work in us, there are expressions through obedience in the places where God has put us that turn those places into places where the presence of God might best be seen. Now, as you think about that definition of faith involving those kinds of works, how, according to James, God is looking from every single one of us. He's looking for some evidence of how our faith shows up in everyday deeds. How would you say this morning on a Sunday when we emphasize missions and service, how would you say you're doing? How are you measuring up? How is the presence of Christ reflected in the things that you do, in the places where you live, the place where you work, the places where you play? How are you giving tangible expression to God's grace working through you? And none of us has an excuse. I love it when I hear people say things like, well, you know, I'm either not old enough to make a difference, or I'm too old and my best days have passed me by. No, they haven't. You look in the Bible and you see plenty of examples of people who both early in life and late in life did God's work, served God's kingdom purposes, made a difference for the cause of Christ. Your age is not an excuse one way or the other. There are other people who say, well, I don't have enough resources, and so I'm really not able to make that much of an impact because I'm just not in a place where I'm able to commit very much to making a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ. Or there are some, they probably won't admit it publicly, but inwardly they're thinking, I have too much to lose. If I do what I sense God leading me to do, I might even get to a place in my life where I lose everything. They won't say that openly in most cases. But I've crossed paths with people. It is evident that is their heart's concern. I might lose it all. No, you won't. Whatever you have, God can use. The widow's mite. What a powerful story Jesus told. Or if you give to God, believing that you cannot outgive God. He's promised to make available to us everything that we need in life to experience fullness of life. You don't have to worry about that. There are people who say, I lack the education, or I have too much education. We could go down the list. Everyone can come up with some kind of excuse for doing the right thing, when the fact of the matter is, God's call comes to each of us wherever we are, just as we are. And when we come to that place in our faith journey where we begin to dream about the possibilities that can happen with God working in and through us, and when we begin to envision what can take place when God does that sort of work through all of us together, church, then gets exciting. Many of you sensed a taste of that excitement just some months ago when we began to talk about God's vision for our church as we move toward the year 2020. And you heard the stories of how God is at work in our midst, and we began to think about what might happen if we opened ourselves even more to the Spirit of God. And we came up with what I think is a fantastic vision, a vision that reflects how God is pulling us into the future where God is already at work. And so in the coming weeks, you're going to hear invitations for you to be involved with others in our church as we think about those underserved people groups in our community. Those folk who are falling through the cracks and who need someone to come next to them with grace and mercy and a helping hand. And when that invitation is extended to you, it doesn't matter how old you are, or how wealthy you are, or how educated you are. All God will be looking for is someone who has an open heart and open hands, and God will work through that group to do amazing things. You're going to hear us talk about existing partners like Ruba and Nabi and a host of others in our church. People that we sponsor in our church. And let me pause to say that you should understand that Mountain Brook Baptist Church is a unique congregation in terms of the commitment that we make to our missions partnerships. Now, many of you have only been a part of Mountain Brook Baptist Church. Your entire faith journey has been expressed through your fellowship in this congregation. And that's wonderful. We don't want you to go anywhere. Others of us have been in other congregations. Mountain Brook Baptist Church gives over 20% of its resources to mission partnerships in our community and in our country and throughout the world. Folk, let me tell you, that is unheard of. You will never find another congregation, Baptist or otherwise, who expresses its mission commitment in that way. And what we are saying now is, are there some partners that we have who need us to be present even more? It may not mean money, prayer support, presence. Is there something more that we can do? It's remarkable to be a part of a church like that. You're going to hear in the coming weeks where there will be a challenge extended to every small group in the church. And the choir's kind of a small group. It's a big group this morning. Fantastic. I was listening to the call to worship. It's incredible what they do Sunday in and Sunday out. But where the choir and Sunday school classes and other small groups in our church begin to think about what can we do as a group within our church to be involved in some missional endeavor beyond the walls of the church. You notice that what we're talking about this morning is thinking not just outside the box, but thinking outside the church. There are many congregations who, because they have turned inwardly, think only about mission in terms of what happens within the walls of the church. And we need people to sing in the choir. We need people to teach Sunday school classes. We need people to rock babies. We need people to work in our youth ministry. We need people who are involved with our senior adult ministry. Granted, there are lots of places within the church where we need people using their talents and their abilities, but it is more to say that for Mountain Brook Baptist Church to fulfill the mission that God has given us, it's not only going to happen through what we do to help one another within the walls of this church. It will be more, how do we move out from this place to engage the world in ways that reflect God's presence and bring God's kingdom purposes to pass? So here's what I'm envisioning. That when the invitations are extended to participate in all of these groups that will be coming together, that you'll consider a way that you can connect. Just pray about that starting this morning. Or in your small group, your Sunday school class this morning at 10 o'clock. Many of you are already doing this. But there are some Sunday school classes that have never thought about what can we do as a class to reach out into our community. And in the meantime, as individuals, thinking of ways that you as a solitary follower of Jesus Christ might reflect the presence of Jesus through the many ways God has given you a platform in this community to do just that. So that when we have people from Mountain Brook Baptist Church who are serving on the PTA, or whatever it's called in the Mountain Brook school system, that's extending the presence of Christ in those places. When we have members of our church who are coaching a recreation team, a basketball team, or a football, or a lacrosse, baseball team, it doesn't matter. When a member of our church is in the community doing that, they see it as their mission field, and in some way, they serve the cause of Jesus Christ through what they're doing. I want to see members of Mountain Brook Baptist Church serve in leadership capacities, in civic clubs, and garden clubs, and reading clubs. And by being involved in those places in leadership capacities, they might be able to extend the witness of Mountain Brook Baptist Church in those places, in those ways. That when you're invited to serve on a board of a local nonprofit organization, that you go into that place proud of your affiliation with Mountain Brook Baptist Church and going there as a disciple of Jesus Christ to take advantage of that opportunity to make a difference. And if more of us, how blessed this church is to have people all over the Birmingham community, all over Jefferson County. If our people are just being faithful, James would say, through working in those places to advance the cause of Jesus Christ, what a greater difference this church could be making than the difference we have already been making. Would you commit to doing that? Would you be open to how God might use you in those ways? If so, in the process, you will not only discover the secret of life, you'll discover as well the secret of faith and how we gain so much when we give our lives away, how our trust in Jesus Christ is best expressed in the service for others that we do, how in the process Jesus is glorified, and the needs of those who are the least, his brothers and sisters, are met. God's kingdom comes, God's will is done, just a little bit more on earth as it always is in heaven. That, my brothers and sisters, is the reason that we serve others.